Matthew 13, NIV version, verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And then verse 4, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up.
Okay, thank you. Jesus Christ spoke these parables, which are normally spiritual truths. He uses earthly depictions to reveal spiritual truths. It's just like analogies or an allegory to speak to something that is supernatural that we may not understand. So he will use regular language and scenarios that we are used to understand these spiritual things. So in this case, he's talking about the farmer. Can anybody guess who the farmer is? Okay, so the farmer...
Is that us? Jesus? Is it Jesus?
Yes, Jesus is the farmer. So Jesus is out sowing seeds. And these seeds, some of them fell on the wayside. Let's read the whole parable first. Then I'll start asking, what is the seed? What is the that?
Okay, verse 5. Yeah. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. That's verse 9.
Thank you. The first category are those that fell on the wayside. And those ones, the birds came quickly and ate them up. Then the second category are those that fell on stony ground. They started sprouting, but the sun came out so hard on them, it was too much, it scorched them, and they withered because they didn't have sufficient roots. That's category 2. Category 3, these ones fell among thorns. They also sprouted, but the thorns choked them. And the fourth category, these ones were on good, rich soil that kept producing a good harvest. And there was much harvest, some 30-fold harvest, 60-fold harvest, even up to 100% harvest. And he was saying this to people who didn't know what he was saying. And then he said that those who have ears, let them hear. Pretty much what the Spirit of God is saying. You find that in Revelations. Every time John will repeat that, let them who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And I don't know if it's a heavenly language, but Jesus Christ was also saying it here. That those who have ears should hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So that is a spiritual statement because, I mean, all of us have ears, right? So it's all about who is ready to receive this seed, who is ready to receive this word that Jesus is saying. And at the time when he's telling them this thing, nobody knows who the sower is. Nobody knows what the seed is. Nobody understands what falling on the wayside, on the stony ground, on the thorny ground, on the good soil. Nobody understood what this was. I mean, it's just like sitting with somebody who is supposed to be a great rabbi, and all you're listening to are clever words that sound like gibberish to you. And that too was intentional. So next verse, please.
Okay, verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Verse 11, he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them.
Wow. So this was intentional. And we use this verse all the time. King James Version says, to you it has been given. When the disciple asked, just imagine we gather together and I'm always teaching the word and we go to the public and I'm sounding different. That's how Jesus was. They were used to him telling them about the kingdom in very clear terms. But when he got to the midst of people, they would hear him say these things that even they didn't understand. And they were like, why? Why is the master speaking like this in this instance? And then Jesus says that to you, it has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. In other words, he knows that those people have ears, but they can't hear. So there's no point in trusting them with these mysteries because it will just cause them problems. They are not seeking after God. They are here for their own selfish reasons. It's not a heart that is centered on God, so they won't receive these truths. It's not going to bear fruit to them. But those who want to really know this truth are going to come to me and ask me, those are my disciples. The true test is when you come closer and you want to get deeper and understand better. You know, I'm sure most of you have kids. They are having a hard time in school or with a subject, you tell them, go ask the teacher. And you notice that if it's a good teacher, the teacher begins to soften towards them and explain things in greater detail. And then your child will be like, oh, yeah. The teacher will take more time. This is how Jesus Christ operated as well. When you find someone who really wants the word and wants to take hold of the word, then you take the time and teach them, because that is good soil. And his disciples were clearly good soil. We see what they did even in the absence of Jesus Christ. I want us to go straight to the interpretation. Today I want us to go to how he explained it to the disciples. If you can go to verse 18, and let's start dealing with them one by one. We're going to start with the seed that fell by the wayside and break it down. So please, let's go to verse 18.
Okay, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path.
I know we've addressed this before. This is the message of the kingdom we're talking about. And this is what Jesus is saying. Now that you're hearing the interpretation of the seed that fell on the wayside, we've already answered the question that the sower is Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, what is the seed? Read it again, verse 19.
When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path.
Beautiful. So what is the seed?
The gospel?
The kingdom. The truth?
Who said the message of the kingdom? Good. The scripture has up to 40 parables that Jesus Christ spoke about. And 19 of them were the kingdom messages. So the message of the kingdom is different from all the other messages. And he would specifically say the message of the kingdom in those instances. Scriptures like, oh, the kingdom of heaven is like. Those messages are the messages we're trying to dwell on. We're digging in deep now so that we can expound on the message of the kingdom, because it is different. When the sower brings this message of the kingdom, which is the seed, and some fall by the wayside, the places that the seeds fall on, what do you call those places in the interpretation? What are the seeds falling on?
The hearts.
Thank you. Beautiful. So these are the heart conditions of different people. My heart condition, your heart condition, the world's heart condition. That is what this parable is about. So Jesus Christ is bringing the seed. He's bringing the message of the kingdom. And that's what he's been telling us. Since he came, he was talking about the kingdom. And he said that until the message of the kingdom reaches the ends of the earth, before he will come. So he wants to come after his message. That is his message. The seed has reached onto every heart. It has fallen upon every heart. The sower wants to make sure that his seed has fallen upon every heart. Whether it's the heart that is by the wayside, or the heart that is a stony, rocky ground, or the heart that is surrounded by thorns, or a heart that is good soil. He wants to make sure that his seed, which is the message of the kingdom, lands on every one of these heart platforms. And so he's explaining here that there's a group of people whose hearts are the wayside. In the interpretation of this parable, their hearts are by the wayside. So it's not like they are fully engaged. It's not like they are making this message the sender of their lives, or they are building their lives around the kingdom. No, for you to receive the message of the kingdom, you have to recognize that you are not of this world, that you are of the kingdom of God, and you allow that kingdom sustain you. It's just like an ambassador from one nation to another nation. If an ambassador from America is sent to another nation, you best believe that all the resources that that ambassador has in their home, in their office, all their resources are American products. They are paid in American dollar. Their food, their clothing, everything is from America. And Jesus Christ wants us to understand that when we come from that kingdom, our entire lives should be centered on that kingdom. We are from that kingdom. Our sustenance is from that kingdom. Even though we are sent into this world is the place of assignment. It's not the place of our citizenship. It's not the place of our sojourn. It's not our beginning. It's not our end. We came from a kingdom, and we are going to return to that kingdom. That's why we are told in scripture over and over that the master will require of us our time, what we did on this assignment. So you and I are ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of earth. And so our sustenance and everything comes from that kingdom. And so when somebody's on the wayside, if their heart is on the wayside, they do not depend on heavenly sustenance. They do not depend on this seed that comes from heaven, which is the message of heaven. So they are just by the wayside. So immediately they receive the seed, they cannot understand it.